Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Ladies and gentlemen, this edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful northwest Pennsylvania, where it's blustery, snowy, cold. And who's sick of the cold?
Yeah. You got to stop complaining. It has not been that cold these last few weeks. It has been in the 40s and 60 degrees. And today has been in the 30s. And I'll take the 30s anytime over zero degrees.
Just complaining, right? No, actually, looking forward to the spring. That's what we're doing. We're broadcast live each and every weeknight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. It's the place to be. And also YouTube Live and Blog Talk Radio, BTR, Blog Talk Radio. What a great outfit they are. And of course, Todd from Global Star Radio Network, hard worker. And thanks for carrying our program. Thanks for carrying all the programs you do. And of course, folks, bookmark HagmannReport.com and please subscribe to our YouTube channel. The official Hagmann and Hagmann Report YouTube channel. Please subscribe to that. It raises our visibility. And of course, we are doing a lot of investigations, and we've got a great show planned for you tonight. Before I turn this over to Joe, I just want to remind everyone, Portions of Tonight's broadcast brought to you by Policy Genius. Have you heard of this company, Policy Genius? Oh man, it's a fantastic company. You know, life insurance and insurance in general, really kind of a hassle. You have agents come to your door sometimes, and you got to go. No, let me direct you to a website, Policy Genius. That's Policy, P-O-L-I-C-Y, Genius, G-E-N-I-U-S. See, I'm a genius. PolicyGenius.com. Go there for zero pressure, but a good comparable rates and fantastic rates, as a matter of fact, comparable situation for your life insurance, your health insurance, all the insurance, even pet insurance. It's policygenius.com. More on that later. Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you.
What if I don't want it?
Yeah, then you can kick back to me, and we'll kick it to Eric, and we'll just keep kicking the ball around.
That sounds good. No, there's a lot to get into tonight. We had a little bit of a scheduling change just to let folks know what's going on tonight. The first hour is going to be open, us talking about news and some important current events. And then from 8 to 8:30, Andrew Kerr from the Citizens Audit will be joining us to talk about his investigation into David Brock from Media Matters and their connections with money trying to impeach Trump and where that money's coming from. He's done a lot of research and has some information on this. And then from 8:30 to 9, we're going to be joined by Chad Prather. He has a video channel on YouTube, Chad Prather, as well as a website. And he is a outspoken cowboy, I guess is the best way to summarize it. And he has his website is watchchad.com. And if you go to the website or go to the YouTube channel, you might recognize him from some videos that he's done where he just...
Oh, you know him, guys.
Yeah, he talks about, from his perspective, what's going on in the world of current events and politics. Now, a couple of important updates, and people are very interested in what Trump is doing in his first days of office, and there is no shortage of information and actions being taken by Trump. I want to start off by the latest update that we've seen. This is on the front of Drudge. It just popped up there a few minutes ago. Exclusive. Trump expected to sign executive orders on immigration on Thursday. And that is on top of a number of other executive orders that have been signed today and yesterday. We talked yesterday about the three executive orders that were signed, withdrawing the U.S. from the TPP as it was never ratified by Congress. Therefore, he doesn't need congressional action to get rid of it. So he took us out of the TPP, which is a good thing, despite what other alternative and mainstream news sources will say. And also, Trump to renegotiate NAFTA with Canada and Mexico. This is a big one because, if you remember the NAFTA agreement and how many manufacturing jobs were lost due to NAFTA, this article from the New American says the day before he signed an important executive order to withdraw from negotiating process for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, President Trump indicated he will renegotiate the North American Free Trade Agreement with Canada and Mexico. Reuters reported that during a swearing-in ceremony for top White House advisors on the 22nd of January, Trump stated that we will start negotiations having to do with NAFTA. We are going to start renegotiating on NAFTA, on immigration, and on security at the border. And then, that's a big deal when we talk about the economy and bringing jobs back into the U.S., bringing the manufacturing sector that was lost back to the U.S. This is a step in that direction, absolutely, to not only withdraw from the TPP, but wanting to renegotiate NAFTA. It's a big deal, and hopefully, from what we've seen so far, there's no reason to think he won't make good on his promises or his statements on what he's going to do, as he has already today signed 5 more executive orders. And there's a couple of interesting ones in here. The Keystone XL pipeline and the Dakota pipeline are two. Well, the Keystone pipeline was bigger during the Obama administration. The Dakota pipeline was more toward the end of his administration. But Obama dragged his feet for years over the Keystone XL pipeline and then decided that it was too big of an environmental risk to do. And that's the pipeline from Alberta, Canada, through Nebraska that would funnel petroleum. Well, today, Trump signed 5 more executive actions in a blitz of executive powerment to spread approvals of high-profile energy and infrastructure projects, including the two controversial pipeline projects in the upper Midwest. The two executive orders related to energy presidential memorandums were issued to expedite the Keystone XL and Dakota Access Pipeline, and he also signed 3 more longer-term and sweeping directives requiring American-made steel and changing the process of approving and regulating future pipeline and infrastructure projects. Now, this statement is from Trump. He said this is about streamlining the incredibly cumbersome, long, horrible permitting process, Trump said in the Oval Office signing ceremony, that already became a trademark of his short presidency. And in reversing the Obama administration's policy to disapprove the Keystone Pipeline, Trump emphasized that the construction is not a done deal. It's something that is subject to a renegotiation of terms by us. We'll see if we can get the pipeline built. A lot of jobs, 28,000 jobs. And the article goes on to talk about Obama's energy policy, taking 7 years to make a decision before killing the Keystone Pipeline over environmental concerns. And there is already, obviously, criticism towards Trump. President Trump will live to regret his actions this morning. Michael Brune of the Sierra Club promised a wall of resistance, the likes which he never imagined. And, you know, there's some very interesting things going on in the media and going on with the resistance to Trump's presidency.
And, you know,
that I have not wrapped my head around yet. I'm trying to understand if we're being gamed here.
What do you mean, gamed? Because explain
my
this.
My goodness.
Is this, how do you, what do you mean? I want to hear what you're saying about being gamed.
It's just too insane.
What do you mean?
These people are doing. I mean, I'm watching videos and seeing articles. I don't know. We'll go through some of these stories. A man bit off his roommate's ear in Pittsburgh because he was afraid Trump was going to send him back to Mexico.
We've got all
the hair
of
on
these.
Fire. There's people, I've seen these liberal, insane meltdowns of
people breaking down in Starbucks.
I posted one on my
personal Facebook page today. This woman, folks, this is a great look. You just
got the coffee one.
Yeah, is vanilla or caramel? Okay, you got to watch.
Doesn't that seem real to you?
No, it seems real. I mean, I'm sure guys. I'll bet you there's some guys with ex-wives just like that out there. I posted this. Eric, come on
out. Did you see that video?
I posted on my Facebook page this video of this woman in Starbucks. In this, you got to see it. I don't think we can play it. I mean, I don't know if we can play it. Can we play it?
I think we can play it. I'm going to email it to you.
You got to watch this.
No, it's hard to watch.
No, it's not. Well, yeah, I guess. But I just... You just have to... this is the greatest thing. I'm not going to ruin the ending for you, because the ending I thought was
the best. I didn't watch it all the way through.
Oh, no, the end. You got to watch the end. Because, I mean, I almost spit my coffee out this morning. Seriously, the ending of this video... If you go to Douglas Hagman on Facebook, you can see it. I posted it there. Oh, no, you know what's on Hagman Report? I posted on Hagman Report as well. Okay, it's on Hagman Report, and you got to watch the whole thing. It's, and I'm not sure who took this video or who posted this video. Whoever it is, we'll give you credit for it, obviously. Thank you for posting it, but but you have to watch it to the end. See, that's the thing.
It's just because it doesn't resonate. How can people be so far?
You got to be my age.
From reality.
No, you got to be my age, because you run into these people. Look, we have people I get emails from people just like this, and I get emails from people who criticize or are very critical of us that read like this screed of this woman. Now, I guess one thing has nothing to do with another, but the mental faculties which are absent from this woman are just amazing to me. You've really got to see this to believe it. Yes? Who cares? Nah, don't worry about it. It's on HagmanReport.com. It's all right. You know what? People can go view it on HagmanReport.com. Anyway.
There was an article in Forbes, okay? Psychological vaccine may protect against fake news and alternative facts. This, in Forbes, in a well-timed paper from three universities in England and the U.S., researchers lay out a strategy for inoculating the public against fake news and alternative facts that have been rampant in recent history. They dubbed the method psychological vaccination. It's conceptually similar to medical vaccinations. You insert a little bit of material you want to inoculate against, normally a virus here, a word of warning about fake news. It's not a real vaccination, folks. They're using wordplay.
Of course.
But,
well, I guess in these days,
the psychology behind this. Psychological vaccination to protect against fake news. What they're saying is there needs to be disclaimers on all news that isn't mainstream to guard against alternative facts. Now, the term alternative facts, people have been...
alternative facts.
There are such things as alternative facts, well, or the alternative spin on facts, because we see that the news media, we saw Obama do this throughout his whole presidency, put their own spin, their own theories, or their own lies on top of facts, or outright lies, a lot of the times. And when you look at the unemployment rate in the U.S., they'll say it's 4.9%. Is that a fact, or is that... an alternative fact?
Well, it depends if you're using Common Core math or if you're...
Okay. So are there alternative facts? I guess alternative facts can just be lies. But when you have, 25-30% of the workforce unemployed right now, and you go around saying that the unemployment rate's only 4.9%, which is fact and which is fiction? Or which is alternative fact?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I guess.
And then you got, CNN, I don't even want to mention their... excuse me, their name.
It's cough right into the mic.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That kind of snuck up on me. CNN has been doing nothing but creating more lies about Trump, going after
the
press secretary for talking about the crowd size. They're trying to compare the Trump crowd size of the inauguration to the Obama crowd size because of something the press secretary said about being the most watched inauguration worldwide, talking about the internet streaming as well as who is there. But they never, we talked about this, they never focused on the crowd size when the election was going on while Trump was filling up stadiums. Hillary Clinton couldn't even fill a room in a hotel.
Well, that's fact.
They never once talked about the crowd size. And now there's another controversy that came out today. Donald Trump talked about the illegal immigrants voting in this election and the rampant voter fraud from the left. And today CNN and Lindsey Graham came out saying that Trump is undermining the confidence in both the American democratic system itself as he continues to claim voter fraud. What about the Russian hacking allegations that were unfounded in any reality? That didn't undermine, you know, you questioning, you accusing Russia of releasing stolen democratic documents as part of undermining our election. You did this for months. But him saying that there was claims of voter fraud somehow is more undermining of the election than you talking about Russian hacking influencing the election. It just seems this hypocrisy is so obvious, it's so blatant, and so stupid that it has to be a ploy for attention for some other reason. That's what I was talking about at first.
I love it. No, exactly. You know, this comes about, look, all of this, in my view, comes back to fake news. And I really believe that, that people need to understand how important that phrase fake news is, because that's contingent, obviously. There are organizations, and Andrew Kerr is right on the money with this, and he's going to be joining us when? At the bottom of the hour?
At 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, all right.
Top, and top I'm going to save a few stories that we have just for him, because the stories about who's behind the Trump protests over the week and the women's protests,
I just did a video on that. And, let me give you a little taste of that. I just did a video. In fact, it's processing right now in my office. I started at 9 o'clock this morning with so many interruptions. I just finished. So it's 8-minute video. It took me 12 hours to get it done because of interruptions. But having said all of that, look, the stuff that was going on in Washington, We need to get into this. I think, did we touch on this yesterday at all? Or did we just...
We touched on it a little bit.
Okay. Here's the deal. The Women's March on Washington. The story goes like this. It was back several months ago. This woman, Teresa Shook, in Hawaii, is on Facebook and types something up on Facebook and about, you know, a Women's March and goes to bed, or right away gets like 40 likes or follows or whatever, and then the next morning it's got 10,000. So the story goes. Did that happen? Yeah, it happened. But was this an organic protest in D.C. with these Neanderthals, with the Amazonian masterhood being represented? And that, of course, is a satirical. Before people send me emails, that's a satirical reference to Married with Children. I wrote an article about that yesterday. No, ma'am, okay? But the long and short of it is this. This was not an organic movement. This didn't arise from the ashes of the feminist movement.
Not.
No, this was a well-orchestrated, well-thought-out, well-planned-out movement. And there are four women involved in this. Let me tell you who they are. Tamika Mallory. She is just a tremendously fierce gun control activist. Her parents, actually, were with Al Sharpton in the founding of... they were founding members of Al Sharpton's... National Action Network. National Action Network. You know what that is, of course. And Tamika Mallory became the youngest executive director of the National Action Network for Al Sharpton. And you know Al Sharpton, right? You can check out my video when it's done. Anyway, those listening to that have no idea what I just did. Carmen Perez, she's number two in the founding members. Carmen Perez is the head of Gathering for Justice. And Harry Belafonte founded that group back in 2005. Now, these sound like really great organizations, but they're all racist organizations, vehemently anti-white, and it's interesting because they all have incestuous ties. For example, Tamika Mallory is an advisor for Gathering for Justice, of whom Carmen Perez is involved. And Tamika Mallory, gun control advocate during Obama's regime, again founding or executive director now of the Al Sharpton's group, National Action Network. And of course you hear the phrase "no justice, no peace." Where did that come from? Al Sharpton's group. And then of course you've got number three is Bob Bland. We spoke about her yesterday. It's a female, honest to goodness. She's a New York fashion designer. She's got ties within the social media or the social arena. And then number four, and this is who you've got to watch out for. Number four is Linda Sarsour. Say it with me. Sarsour. Linda Sarsour. She's a Palestinian. Now, who is she? I just told you. Palestinian. But she's a Palestinian American. She is the head of the Arab American Association of New York. Why should you care? Well, isn't it interesting that she is pro-Sharia, pro-Muslim, pro-Sharia, subjugating the United States, to Sharia law. Okay? She, as head of the Arab American Association of New York, as part of the governor's New York, the mayor's fund, which had $10 million bankroll, the mayor's fund, to advance New York, she, her organization received $500,000, the Arab Association of New York. She was also responsible for having, or for the closure of New York schools, for Muslim holidays. Okay, so this is who she is. She's, and, guess what? Linda Sauer, if you go deeply into her past, you'll find the 2015 tweets, of course, and we went over this a little bit, but you'll find 2015 tweets to her advocation of Sharia law. And also, you'll find pictures of her with Hamas, allegedly her Hamas operatives. All this is, or all these are, in my view, in my personal and professional opinion, based on my professional investigative research. For those taking notes out there, just to be clear. But so those are the four faces of the Women's March. Well, who's actually behind? Who's the money behind this? There's 400 organizations. And again, Andrew Kerr's going to get into this, but 400 partners, in quotation marks. And you can go over them. They're the usual various partners. They're the usual social justice people. Or shall I say socialists, basically. But there's two premier partners, Planned Parenthood, go figure, and of course, Natural Resources Defense Council. That's right. So what do those two groups have to do with anything? They provided the money for these marches. And of course, what you're seeing is, rather than the elevation of women. And I spoke about this yesterday. Women, in my view, at least the women in my life, the true women I know, and I'm not talking about, I'm gonna keep it nice. I'm talking about the women in my life, my wife, my daughter, you know, those people out there who I deal with and are friends of mine, the people, and we spoke about this yesterday, I believe. You know, the Steve's wife and Pastor Langford's wife and Dr. Ted's wife and all of the women that I know are class acts. They have dignity. And they should be elevated in terms of, well, they need, in my view, need to be protected. And they need to be elevated. They need, they have dignity, they've got class, they've got charm. And I said this yesterday in my opening statement. But the bottom line is this. What was represented in littering the streets of America yesterday, and you can go to HagmanReport.com for my article, No Ma'am, or if you want to comment on it, go to CanadaFreePress.com. It might still be on the front page. I don't know. But the bottom line is the people, the women and emasculated, ballless men yesterday or Saturday that littered the streets of Washington and other major cities did so, in my view, as basically unwitting cannon fodder, unwitting political cannon fodder for the communists and socialists and Marxists and Leninists running around the country and trying to take over this country. The people involved, now these are the front people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now.
There's an article that talks about this, about the organization of the march, even though that they claim they're self-described as a grassroots effort coordinated by many local leaders. The article goes on to say, however, a look at its website shows that the march has numerous ties to groups receiving significant financial support from left-leaning philanthropist George Soros. No surprise there.
Well, and David Brock David and Andrew Kerr's going to come on and talk about David Brock. On the other side of the break, I'm going to tell you about David Brock. Because, folks, we are not done with Pizzagate. We're not done with David Brock. We're not done with Hillary Clinton. We're not done with Barack Obama. We're not done, period. And let me ask you something, and I'm going to come around and ask you this. We are conducting research. I mean, 24/7. We've got a white, you can't even ask Eric, we got a whiteboard in there. There's a lot of things we're doing right now. We're connecting a lot of dots. We're doing a lot of research, and we depend upon your support. So, I'm just asking, you know, if you can support our investigative work, thank you. And that way we don't have to to depend on other avenues of income, you know, the silly ads and stuff like that inside the videos that are played. But we do have to offset the expenses. It's very expensive to conduct investigations, and we appreciate your support. And if you can't, no worries. If you can say a prayer on our behalf, that's great too. So we're up against the bottom of the hour break. On the other side, we're going to talk about David Brock in advance of Andrew Kerr and how Andrew, this does. Go ahead.
Andrew's going to be bringing a different perspective. He's not going to be talking about the Women's March so much as the efforts that are behind the attempted impeachment of Donald Trump.
Right here, brother.
And these notes talk right here. About, see. The memo that was released that the Andrew Free too. Beacon released that David Brock showed the different strategies that they wanted to take. And he has done some great research also into how, you know, these anti-fascist organizations, he's going to outline how they're employing the tactics of fascism. You know, and George Soros, you know, the person who's the number one funder behind these anti-fascist groups that call Trump Hitler, he killed Jewish people. He turned over his own brothers who were Jews during the Holocaust for money. This is how he got his fame, their fortune back then. If anybody is closest to Hitler, it's George Soros.
And you know, it's craziness. The butthurt little anti-fascist. Well, I shouldn't say anti-fascist, but the anti-fascist action, Antifa action, those people are butthurt because there's a bunch of them sitting in jail, and they're tweeting out, "You really effed us. You really effed us. We're facing
10 years. The protesters?
Yeah.
They're facing 10 years.
10 years. Yeah, you really effed us. Now, some of us, like yours truly, got bailed out by our backers, but we have the court dates in 10 effing years in jail.
Unfortunately, there's some journalists who are caught up in that from RT and from another news outlet that had credentials that are facing the same thing. When we come back, we'll hit this on the other side. You're listening to the Hagmann Report. Stay with us.
Back to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. Somebody said, "Hey, did you just have a stroke or something? What'd you do?" No, you know, it's the protesters, and some say, "Oh, that's fake. That's a fake Twitter feed." Well, you know what? Look, I don't know. I can't guarantee the authenticity of the Twitter remark or the capture. It was on 4chan, I believe it was, but it was Twitter that was the Twitter feed that read, or it was not Twitter. It was a posting on 4chan, I believe, but. By someone allegedly who was arrested, bailed out, now facing 10 years in jail, and saying it's not fair, calling the people calling the people who tasked them, you know, yeah, to saying that it's their fault. But anyway, before we get back to the news at hand, let me ask you something. Have you gone over your life insurance recently? Have you gone over your insurance packages? And I have, at my elder age, I have. Do you know there are 35 million U.S. families have no life insurance, zero, none at all? That's 30% of U.S. households. And that's a shame, because I know that when I pass away, when I die, or when they, you know, put me in the ground, still kicking and screaming, I want to leave my family, at least, I want them to be, I don't want them to miss me economically. So that's important to me. If you want a great service, and I think everyone should take advantage of this. I don't care if you think you have a lock on life and health insurance or your insurances or not. We found a great company that handles all of your insurance all in one place. Get you the best quotes on life insurance, get you the best quotes everywhere. It's called policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com. By far the best online life insurance marketplace on the planet. They provide the most accurate quotes from top A-rated life insurance companies. Policy Genius has placed over $5 billion in life insurance for people like you and me. They have a very simple user-friendly website to shop and compare all of the top-rated life insurance companies, and they give you the best options. They have a licensed customer service team, and this is important because you have to be licensed to understand the laws and what they're doing. So, they'll find you the best policy at the best price. While you're there, check out their other insurance offerings like health insurance and pet insurance. Yes, pet insurance. Folks, go to policygenius.com today and save over 70% off other prices for life insurance. Please do this. When life insurers compete for your business, you save money. Not by a captive agent somewhere, but by this company. This company, Policy Genius. That's Policy Genius. I'm going to spell it for you. P-O-L-I-C-Y, Genius, which is G-E-N-I-U-S.com. PolicyGenius.com. No jargon, no sales pressure, no hassle. Life insurance made easy. Free quotes, zero hassle. 100% peace of mind. Folks, don't wait. Go to policygenius.com today and do that, because I would hate to see, and I've known people that have passed away without life insurance. In fact, I had a good friend that happened to, he died in an accident, and you talk about the economic devastation. This is back in 1990. Young man, well, same age as me back then, and he died in a car accident. The funeral back then was $7,000, I believe it was, and it just wrecked the family. So, be a hero. PolicyGenius.com. But Joe, before the break, we were talking about David Brock, we were talking about the impeachment proceedings, the
legitimization.
Thank you. Okay, what he said of the Trump presidency. And you'll notice some reports saying all Trump does is he's obsessed with television. He's obsessed with watching Morning Joe. He's obsessed. And you'll hear this. It's coming out. You're going to hear this. He's obsessed with tweeting. He doesn't himself tweet. He dictates his tweets.
I would, if I was the president, I'd be watching Morning Joe and CNN too to see exactly what they say I should do and do the opposite. I mean, talk about the best policy advice.
Beats the hell out of Obama watching the final four. What is that stuff? Final four? College basketball, whatever that. Yeah. But a lot of junk is coming out of the media and the mainstream media, and this originates from fake news. It is. But Brock himself, and this is where I'm kind of setting this up for Kerr, Andrew Kerr, and his website is thecitizensaudit.com, right?
Thecitizensaudit.com.
All right. Just making sure now. He's investigated David Brock. He's investigated these marches. He's investigated all of this. But with respect to Brock, he was down, and I spoke about this on Dave Hodges' program on Sunday night. I spoke about this briefly yesterday. There was a meeting in Florida from January 18th until January 21st, that David Brock called. But just so you know who Brock is, he's the head of Media Matters for America, which is a news media watchdog site. He's the head of Share Blue, which is a liberal news site. He's involved with American Bridge, which is the Democratic and Progressive Liberal Party's opposition research organization. And that's an important phrase to understand. Opposition research. What is that? What is opposition research? You know what that is? That is digging the dirt, getting the dirt on others.
Or creating it,
correct. And then, of course, the legal side of his organizations, it is the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics to Washington. CREW is the acronym for that. And that's the organization that is behind filing papers and the legal actions against Trump that include urging our congressmen and senators to fight Trump and to get him on the various clauses of the Constitution which prohibit Trump from owning, having any foreign interests in terms of
business deal.
Yeah, like, and especially real estate, real property and such. You know, he's got, for example, he's got hotels over in other countries. Well, there's a clause in the Constitution that says you can't have foreign interests or foreign interests.
Hasn't stopped any other president.
It hasn't. But this is the angle that Brock is using. So he had this, between last Thursday and Saturday, he had, many donors. I think 120 at last count, I think was the final count. They got together at the Turnberry Isle Resort in Aventura, Florida. And again, I did a video on this. If you want the 8-minute version, it'll be up probably after the show. I had to edit a lot of things in. Like I said, it took me 12 hours to do an 8-minute video just because of all the interruptions. But there were like 120 top donors there, Democratic progressive donors at this meeting. Well, as I mentioned on Dave Hodges' show, and I'm mentioning again, there were former attorneys general there. There were federal officials and state officials. They're represented from all the major federal credit unions, labor unions, that is. You had the head of Emily's List. You had the head of Planned Parenthood there. You had the head
Planned
of
Planned Parenthood was one of the bigger donors to the Women's March in D.C.
Yeah. Planned Parenthood was the second of, it was really, there were two primary sponsors, Planned Parenthood and the National Defense Resources Council, or National, what I said earlier,
the National Resources Defense Council.
That's the one, yeah. So anyway, you've got Brock meeting down in Turnberry in Florida. No, you gotta understand what's going on here.
And before
he's raising money. Okay, go on.
Both the Planned Parenthood and the National Resource Defense Council got their money from the Open Society, which is owned by George.
Well, there were 400, yes, but just to be very clear, there were over 400 organizations in addition to the Planned Parenthood and Resource Council. There were 400, and out of all of those organizations, Soros was connected to at least 56, at least. Now, this is not my research or our research. This was actually posted. This is crowd-researched via the New York Times, and hopefully Andrew will address that. And they actually opened the spreadsheet, and it was very interesting to watch this play out in real time. But having said all of that, while all of our eyes were on the inauguration and the events taking place on Saturday, and these Neanderthal, Amazonian masterhood women and emasculated men with their nuts in their wife's purse were walking around, or their significant other's purse or their boyfriend's purses were walking around. Yes, I said that. Does that make me a bad Christian? Okay, well, then I'll repent. But see, this is the Clinton network. They're not going away. This is Clinton lashing out. This is Clinton not destroying the country overtly as president of the United States, as she would have, but Clinton destroying it covertly. Look, we have to understand there are people who want to take down this country from within. Just like there are people out there that want to take us down and take Jones and take Rick Wiles down and take all of the alt media, alternative media programs down, the new media programs down.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But
it's the fact that it's an alternative source of information, giving a difference of opinion on facts being presented by the mainstream media, and it doesn't matter who is behind the microphone. Anybody who's doing this who has any kind of audience, they want to shut down.
Right. Right.
It's not about who you are. It's about the message that is being...
Well, sometimes it's about who you are. And other times, but most of the time it is about the message. You're absolutely correct. And I say some of that in jest, but it is about the message. And when you dig deep enough, you'll find that everything is... Well, nothing is as it appears. And I want people to really understand that, because you might see a statement out there that... Well, that you know, it sounds logical, and proof is shown to you, or what looks like proof or evidence is shown to you, and you think, okay, that's it. And you know, it's 180 degrees opposite. How many times?
So you're not standing in the East River right now?
Yeah. But you know, how many times in an investigation have we been in an investigation when we,
evidence points in one direction, think it's, cut and dry after you see certain pieces of information and evidence, and then you realize it's completely something opposite of what you thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah, and folks, let me tell you about an investigation that we did, and this still bugs the heck out of me to this day, and you tell me if you've,
which one you're going to talk about.
Okay. Now, here's the deal. Just real quick, folks, listen to this, because there are lessons to be learned here. We only worked for Fortune 100 and Fortune 500 corporations. All right. That's generally speaking, 99% of the time. Occasionally, we would provide mutual aid to other PIs. I'm not going to give you the city or the state where this took place, but it was interesting. Another PI called us and said, would you help us out on a child welfare, child endangerment case? And I said, sure, no problem. You know, we can do this. And anyway, make a long story short, the subject of our surveillance. Now, the guys, you'd think that this is, okay, this is like a really cushy job. The subject of our surveillance worked at a strip club as a dancer.
Not the one I was thinking of, but yes, I do remember that.
Which one are you thinking of?
A workers thing.
Okay. Well, anyway. Now, here's the issue, all right? We received a photograph, family photograph of this individual, this woman, and we got her real name and, of course, her stage name, and we identified her. And I'll fast forward through a lot of this. We identified her really well, if you know what I mean, and you know what I mean. So, to make a long story short, we were in court.
So weird. I remember that.
Okay. Yeah.
I still don't know what happened.
I am telling you what, this still bothers me. And
it was so strange.
Okay. So now you understand, we know who this woman is. Positive smack, positive ID, right down to the tattoos or lack thereof. Right? So, and you never want to be embarrassed in court. That's the worst place to be embarrassed. I mean, well, let me tell you, you just don't want to be embarrassed in court. You don't want to be wrong or embarrassed. So, bottom line is this. Under questioning, do you see the woman here in court? Yes. Where is she? Point her out. There. Does she have I'll just use this. Does she have a butterfly tattoo on her lower back that spans her lower back? No. Well, how do you know this? Well, really? Because we saw her lower back. You sure she doesn't have a butterfly tattoo that spans her lower back? 100% positive. Okay, now you have to understand this.
Everything's on tape. It's the same person.
Yeah. And she has no sisters. She has no doppelgangers, no twins, nothing. Well, you know what happened, right? She has a tattoo in court on her lower back, huge tattoo on her lower back. Okay, you're thinking, wait a second, that's easy enough. It's either one of three things. Either the tattoo is fake. She got the tattoo between the time the tape was taken and the court date, or you got the wrong person. Right? One of three things. That's the only thing you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, it wasn't the judge got her in chambers. It wasn't a fake tattoo. Not sure how you put it. Well, it wasn't a fake tattoo. And she didn't just get the tattoo.
You telling that story, I remember sitting in the back of the courtroom and the judge and then everybody going to chambers, coming back. I remember the PI, the other PI, with his little video player, looking at the tape. That was such a weird case. I haven't thought about that one in a long time.
Well,
but it is strange, yeah.
Well, okay, so the bottom line is,
it was the same person.
She said, you've got the wrong person. And look, no, we don't.
Yeah, that wasn't
the right down person. To the mole, right down to the... trust me when I tell you, there... No, that was her. And she was in that she was doing that place, right? But here we are. Judge looks down and says, well, okay, explain it. I can't. We can't explain this. Well, you're going to have to explain it, because otherwise everything gets tossed out. And the PI that hired us looked at us, and we looked at the other PI, and we're like, what just happened here? I mean, really, what just happened? So, now, although we don't know what happened, and I understand, okay, don't send emails, please. Don't send any emails about this. I can tell you it was not a temporary tattoo, and it wasn't just done. Trust me when I tell you that we... I've got so the only the only two things that could have happened is we got the wrong person. Which, that's not true. So you're giving what's the alternative?
Place of employment, times working.
Oh, yeah. And she, I mean, the whole, I,
and
everything
else. Unmistakable identification. We knew right when we saw the person that was who we were supposed to be looking for, from the name to, I mean, everything was given to us when we went to investigate, was accurate, was there. We did our job. We took the video we were supposed to and gave it to the other investigators and then went to court later on, whenever that, however much time.
And then got her, you know, what's handed to us in court, okay? But see, no. Okay, so everything is not as it seems, because we were ready to swear. I mean, we did swear. That's her. That's her?
Mm-hmm.
100%. That's her. Absolutely 100%. And you know, we knew something was wrong going in because she had this really interesting attitude. And it was one of those things that, you know, we knew that there was something wrong because we were sure. We were so sure. And we still are. But I can't explain it. I don't know what happened. I really, those are one of those issues that what happened as soon as the case was dismissed, that the client at that time, our client, the other investigator said, okay, we're done. You know, we're not going to, their client said to our client, they're done. So it was over. It was, at that point, it was over and done with. So we were left wondering what was going on. The bottom line, the moral of the story is this. You can be 100% sure you know something, and you could have all of the evidence, so-called evidence and facts right before you, and be totally 100% wrong, or be right and not be able to prove it.
Yeah.
I don't like the latter, but I certainly, the former, is intolerable. In other words, being wrong. So, I would just say this, that the moral of that story is things are not as always as they appear, and we have to be very careful with believing things that other people write, other people say, other people assert, claim, whether it's in an email or on a website or whatever. There's a lot to learn by that. And we would take, I lost my train of thought. I saw something flash across the screen there, and I lost my train of thought. But bottom line is this: please understand that we do 100%. 100% of the time, we attempt to go after what's really out there, what's really true, and sometimes to authenticate things. It's a job and a half. But don't believe everything you see and everything you read. Go on.
We have about 5 minutes before the break, roughly. Few stories I want to make sure we hit before we continue with our guest Andrew Kerr in the next segment, followed by Chad Prather.
Prather. It's gonna be you got
8:30 to 9, wow. And then Stan coming up 9 to 10. One thing I want to talk to Stan about, and I'm just gonna throw this out there now, and I'm gonna email it to him at the break so he has this when he comes on. China is controlling the weather and will soon make it rain over an area twice the size of France. We know weather modification and manipulation have been.
Well, can they bring some sun and warm weather over here?
Well, listen to how they're doing it. And this is a mainstream article. It's sending airplanes to spray chemicals, like dry ice and silver iodide, across the sky to create more rainfall in a technique called cloud seeding. Sound familiar?
Well, yeah, of course.
How do you change the weather? It goes on to say, it's spending millions on aircrafts and chemicals that will be sprayed into the sky. The chemicals will change the metaphysical makeup of the cloud. It will force it to sleet, rain, or even snow artificially on demand. And I'm going to send this to Stan, but we see still people who claim that the chemtrails in the sky today and point them out. That they're called crazy and conspiracy theorists, still saying that this isn't real, even though we know U.S. Weather modification programs have been in place for decades, and now China is openly stating that they're going to be controlling the weather. Now I'll send that to Stan. We'll get into that in the third hour. This is a story I wanted to make sure we talked about. DNC chair candidate wants to shut other white people down. This is a bizarre story. I don't know how many people have saw the video of Sally Brown, Idaho Democratic Party executive director. And this article is from Fox News. There's an article on Drudge about this from a different source. And what she said was kind of crazy. at the forum Monday, she's declared that white people need to shut their mouths and that her job is to shut other white people down.
Yep.
Excuse me. And this was a forum hosted by MSNBC's Joy Reid, including a bunch of social justice snowflake politicians from Keith Ellison to...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just go read the list for yourself. The one lady, Tucker Carlson, had on her show and was trying to promote this stuff, and she got shut down on the Fox show. But what she went on to say was, first of all, the DNC has to acknowledge and respect that Black Lives Matter are responding to urgent social injustice problems in our country. That's from Ellison. And what she went on to say is, my job is to listen and to be a voice, and my job is to shut down other white people when they want to interrupt. It's my job to shut other people down, white people down when they want to say, oh no, I'm not prejudiced, I'm a Democrat, I'm accepting, she said. My job is to make sure that they get, that they have privilege, and until we shut our mouths and we listen to those people who don't, and we lift our people up so that we have equality in this country, we're not going to break through this. This is not just rhetoric. This is a matter of life and death. She went on to take a shot at her home state for its own lack of diversity, saying, I am from Idaho. We are so white, right? I have been reaching out and trying to connect to anybody of color I can find to be honest with me. We need schooling, and I depend on you.
Schooling.
Yeah, this is a white lady.
All right.
I don't know where to begin with this.
Well, yeah, you get the idea. Yeah, I mean, you get the idea. You know, one of the issues, too, and I want to bring this up because I think this is a matter of national security. In the incoming Trump administration, their cybersecurity team came into the White House during transition. They were handed off a set of passwords. Now, right away, the Trump administration changed the passwords. However, there was a period of time, and I suspect only minutes passed, but between the incoming and outgoing outgoing people, the cybersecurity team, ostensibly the incoming team got the passwords, and as they were changing them, the outgoing cybersecurity team leaked those passwords, and the accounts were hacked. The old ones, right? But there was only like a few.
Is that a felony?
Of course it is. But there was just a. But they can't prove where the leak came from. But that very short period of time put the cybersecurity parts of the White House at risk. Now, conservative Daily Post has got a different take on it. But there's that small snippet of time when that vulnerability was exploited, and it was because of the outgoing cybersecurity staff. And that, to me, is unbelievably reckless, and that should be, they should be taken, there should be felonious charges filed if that is true to be the case.
Putting national security at risk over a difference of ideology, opinion, or like or dislike of a person. There's another story about a Secret Service agent who, her name's Karen O'Grady, on her Facebook page in October, posted and suggested that she's voting for Hillary Clinton, that Trump is a disaster for the country.
And she didn't suggest she just came out and said, go ahead.
And then, she went on to say that she would rather go to jail than take a bullet for Donald Trump. This is an active Secret Service agent, and this kind of stuff cannot continue. And she goes on, she wrote about how much she disdains Trump and how much she loves Hillary Clinton.
Secret
this
Service agent.
World has changed, and I have changed, and I would take jail time over a bullet or an endorsement for what I believe to be a disaster to this country. And as she continues, it'll be interesting to see how long she lasts as a Secret Service member. We'll be right back with Andrew Kerr from thecitizensaudit.com. He'll be with us to continue to expand on David Brock, the money behind his organization, and where it's going to help try to impeach Trump. Stay with us.